name's Rena, I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
Really good to be here. So to start off with, I first came into another fellowship, into AA, and started coming to OA probably about 8 years ago. And I define my abstinence by refraining from binging and purging, and it's been just over six years now. I don't have a specific date, it's all a blur, but I can gauge it from when I came into AA and how long I've been clean and sober, and yeah, think back. And in terms of photos, I've not bought any photos. For me, I hated myself for a really long time, and I couldn't deal with photos, I couldn't deal with looking at myself in photos. And you know, I've ripped up so many photos, even beautiful family photos where I'd been on holiday with other people, I'd rip them up because I couldn't stand the sight of myself. And for me, my story is that when I was in active addiction, and with that I include all behaviours, including my eating primarily, I was using Class A substances, I was doing other things, I was throwing up everything I ate. So I've actually put on weight in recovery. I was probably about 2 stone lighter than I am now, because I wouldn't eat, and I'd use substances from the moment I got up to when I went to sleep, so that I would not eat. And for me, I couldn't imagine how I would be able to live if I put on weight, because my obsession was, If only I was thin, I'll be happy. And for me, it's a beautiful gift, actually, to have been able to, through the steps and accessing a power bigger than myself, being able to feed myself well, to not throw up, to not use substances, to have put on some weight, and to be at peace with myself, for it not to define me anymore. So for me, it's not about... Of course, I have a desire to be healthy, but the only way I can do that is for me through accessing the power, because left to my own devices, there's nothing I can do to try and control my weight, because I've tried that for years. So I think that's the first few questions answered. And so for me, my eating started at a really young age, and I don't remember... you know, when I look back, it's quite a blur, but I remember stealing from my parents. My parents owned newsagents, and I would steal money from the till. I would go into, we lived in a flat on top of the newsagents, and I'd sneak in, and I became very skillful at stealing at a very young age. And I would, you know where the security cameras were, and I'd be quite good at just like swiping odd bits here and there and putting them in my clothing. Go up to my room, stand against my door and eat and get rid of the wrappers. And sometimes it would be putting it in a bag so I can take it out of the house in an external bin. And this is from a really young age. This is in primary school. And I'd steal money, and on the way to school, I would buy food from different shops on the way in. And I had to walk down Croydon High Street to get to school, and I'd go into the McDonald's, and I'd be eating food on the way to school, and at the same time I would be looking in all the shop windows at all of the models in the windows, praying to something that I didn't believe in at the time, saying, please let me be as thin and as pretty as her. And I'd kind of say it like a mantra as I'm walking round to every person, like desperately wanting to be as thin and as pretty as that person, like believing deep down that if I was slimmer and if I was more attractive, then everything would be okay. I'd feel okay. My life could start. And I didn't feel like that. I felt full of fear. I felt anxious. I hated myself. I felt uncomfortable in my skin. I had the voices from a really young age, the negative voices, that you're shit, you're stupid, no one likes you, what are you doing here, what do you say that for, they're going to think you're an idiot. You know, just constant voices. And my experience was that even at that young age, the only thing that would shut that up for a little bit is to eat. And I discovered that, and it worked a treat. It was perfect. And especially in those earlier stages when I was able to steal money freely, and kind of I felt like there wasn't a huge amount of consequences. And as time went on, I started, you know, when I was 18, I moved out of the family home and I started shopping independently, lived with flatmates. And I remember going to Sainsbury's and doing like a week's shop, coming in the door and then thinking, oh, I'll just try that, that looks nice, I'll just have a little bit of this. And thinking, oh, I'll have a little bit of that, and that looks good, and I'll just have one of those. And I had discovered throwing up by this time as well, you know, that eating had results in my weight, and with the obsession about weight as well as food, throwing up was a perfect solution. And this you know, this day I'd gone through a whole week shopping in a couple of hours, and I just, you know, it was once I started, I couldn't stop myself. It was like something would just come over me, and I'd just keep going like this, and, you know, just I'd go through the whole lot, and then I'd throw up and to make room for more, and I'd carry on, and that became really normal for me. That became really frequent, really common. That once I started eating, I didn't know when I was going to stop, and it progressed to a point where I got really scared to start eating, and that could be anything. Like, I was scared in the morning to have breakfast, or to, you know, to put anything in my mouth, because I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know if I wouldn't be able to stop, and then if I'd be able to leave the house to do whatever I needed to do. And my experience was that a lot of the time I missed loads of appointments. I wasn't able to leave the house because I'd start eating, and I was just gonna have the thing that I'd set out to have. But once I start eating, something just happened where I had more and more and more, and I'd see the time going, but I wasn't able to stop. I wasn't able, through all of my effort, through all of the desire, through all of the awareness of disappointing myself and other people, through the self-hatred of what I was doing, through the confusion of why on earth am I doing this? I don't want to do this. I didn't have the power not to. And I started thinking about ways that I could stop eating, or, you know, try to control it. And I started exercising compulsively. I started using more substances. I got my tongue pierced, thinking I'd be online, and I'd look at like weight loss pills, and I'd order random stuff online, and I'd find that my heart would beat really quickly, and I was no stranger to substances, but I'd get really scared that I was going to have a heart attack. So I stopped taking those, and, you know, I'd put pictures on my cupboards. I'd put like, make collages out of beautiful women and put them by my bed, put like a skinny dress on the wardrobe, like all these things around me to try and inspire me to not do that. But I couldn't stop myself. You know, the thought would come into my mind of eat it. And it's like, I'll be like, all right, it'll be different this time, or this is the last time, I'll start again tomorrow, or screw it, or whatever it was, but I'd end up doing it again. And I thought, I can't trust anything around me. I thought it would be amazing to get my stomach stapled, or I thought, maybe getting my tongue pierced, that's a genius idea, because then my tongue will swell up so much that I actually can't eat. Oh, what an amazing thing. And I did, for that reason, but I ended up drinking loads of frozen Baileys and eating loads of ice cream. I'm like, bloody hell, nothing stops me. There was one point where I'd come up with these ideas of what I'm going to do, like the next idea, and I feel really excited that maybe this time it's going to work, and maybe this time I can start my life again, and maybe it's going to be okay. And one of those ideas was that everything I ate, there were so many different things I ate, and once I started, I just couldn't stop. And, you know, I thought maybe it's the chickpea curry my mum made me, maybe it's the toast I ate, maybe it's cheese, maybe it's the olives, maybe it's this, because I ate everything compulsively. And I had this idea, if only I just eat fruit and vegetables, like fresh fruit and vegetables, I'll just eat that and maybe that will be okay. And I was so hopeful, and I threw out, I've got no idea how I'm doing for time, is it?
I'm doing very well.
Oh my.
You are 5 minutes left before
the 5 minutes, lovely, thank you. So yeah, I had this idea of if only I just eat fresh fruit and vegetables, it might be okay. And I believed it. And I was so hopeful. I was so excited because this was going to be it. And I threw all the other food out of my flat. And that's a big deal because I'm someone that I'd eat food out of bins. I'd eat my flatmate's food that she'd left, which I didn't understand. And then sometimes she'd put washing up liquid over it so she wouldn't go back and pick. But I'd still pick round that, and you know, I'd eat food that was still frozen because I couldn't wait for it to defrost. I'd eat food that was still like scalding hot because I couldn't wait for it to cool down, and I'd burn myself, but I just couldn't wait. And for me to throw food out of the house was a massive deal, but I was excited and this was going to be a new start. And I got rid of all the food in the house and I bought in fresh fruit and vegetables and I made myself a stir fry of just vegetables. And I sat down with a bowl of vegetables and started eating them. And then I went back into the kitchen to put more vegetables in the bowl. But the next thing I knew, I found myself holding up the pan to my face with one hand and shoveling in the vegetables with the other. And it was a moment for me where I thought, fuck, I can do this with absolutely anything. And it terrified me because I thought that this was going to be okay. But my personal experience was that I can do this compulsive eating, this uncontrollable, driven, urgency of needing to eat in an uncontrollable way with absolutely anything. And it scared me because I had no idea what to do. What do you do then when you can't eat anything? And you know, for me it got to a point where I became resigned to this is just what I do, and this is just how it's going to be. And as time went on, my mental health declined more and more. I started the anxiety, the paranoia, the depression, it got greater and greater, and I found it really difficult to leave the house. I found it really painful to dress myself. I would go through half the wardrobe, everything would look awful. I'd hate myself so much, I wouldn't want to be seen by other people. And I had daily thoughts of suicide. I was constantly thinking about taking my life because I couldn't see any way out. I'd gone to doctors, I'd been on eating disorder clinic waiting list, I'd been given lots of medication and nothing worked for me. And my experience was that I was led into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was taken through the 12 steps in AA, and I accessed through the 12 steps a power greater than me that miraculously removed my obsession to drink and use, but I was left with nothing else apart from the eating, and it got worse. And I'd leave an AA meeting and I'd go to the petrol station and I'd be paranoid of, is anyone in the meeting here? And I'd be eating in the car on the way home. And sometimes I get really scared. When I'm eating in that way, my eyes are on the road. I'm not, you know, eating comes first for everything. And there'd be times when I'd almost like crash into another car and I think, shit, but then I'd carry on. And, you know, the paranoia, the self-disgust, the self-hate, it definitely took the edge off, like, the serenity and the spiritual connection, because I was still experiencing this spiritual malady, this illness that was beyond my control. And I had a beautiful friend in AA who was just as nuts as me, and she had also recovered from alcoholism but was left with this eating. And we'd go to meetings together, begging people to help us. And she met someone in America who took her through the steps, through the big book. And I remember when she first called me, saying that she's got a solution, that something's worked. And even though I was kind of happy for her, I wasn't ready to let go of what I was doing. Because for me, eating was everything. It was how I got through every single day. I had no idea how to live in the world. It was my crutch. It was, you know, it was the thing that enabled me to be okay. In every situation, I could deal with absolutely anything as long as I was able to eat to deal with it, I suppose. And eventually I got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore, and I gave her a call and she took me through the steps and she explained her problem. And she explained her problem as being one of compulsive eating. And it wasn't any particular food or any particular food group, it was the behaviour, it was a behaviour-based illness of once she starts eating in a certain way, she has little or no control of when that will end. And her mind will take her back to that time and time again, and there's absolutely nothing that she's able to do, or any other person that's able to do, to stop her. And I got that because of my experiences with vegetables and with other things. I was like, I relate to that. I didn't relate to some other people when, you know, I'd been advised to.
Yes,
yeah,
fine.
Thank you. For me, it sat right with me, and I got that. And she told me that what she did was she went through the steps really quickly to access this power, and it was through accessing this power that she was kind of guided in how to eat. And I had no other ideas, so I you know, and what she talked about, I believed her, I trusted her, because I knew her really well. And I did what she suggested, and I understood that for me, I have the same illness of the behaviour of compulsive eating. There's no particular substances or food groups that I am allergic to. However, there's some that are probably not the best for me to have and the most nutritious. And if there was a choice of those vegetables or crisps or cheese or whatever, I don't think there'd be a contest there. You know, I'd automatically go to the things that I enjoy eating, that taste nicer, that, you know, that are good in the mouth. And so, yeah, there were certain things that I'd lean towards, but those things themselves weren't my problem. And she said to me, Rena, if all of this stuff was taken out of the world, if I tell you tomorrow none of that stuff will exist, will you still have a problem? I was like, hell yeah. I'll then do this and this and this with all these other things. And through going through the steps of access to power, and through this working certain things in my life daily, step 10s throughout the day, step 11, step 12, my insights have been changed, so I no longer need to eat. My life doesn't, I'm not defined by my weight anymore. I no longer hate myself. I no longer constantly like crave to be someone else or to look like someone else. And I'm able to live today, and I'm able to feed myself when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full. And that used to be an ultimate fantasy. And that's my truth today. And for me, it's only if I remain in fit spiritual condition. And my experience is that I don't use a food plan. I make sure that I kind of practice the steps to the best of my ability daily, so that I'm able to feed myself well. So that eating doesn't become my solution, but the steps in God is my solution. And when I do that, I'm free. But I very quickly will go into laziness, into dishonesty, into self-seeking, and thinking, oh, Chris will be nice. And that will be nice. And if I've got something going on and I don't deal with it immediately, eating will talk to me. And there's times when I've eaten selfishly because I just want out. I don't want to do this stuff. I don't want to do the steps. I don't want to put the time and the effort into building a connection. I don't want to speak to anyone else. I just want to escape right now. And for me, that's my story. And I believe that my eating has not been perfect. My recovery has not been perfect. But I've never experienced what I have now ever before. And I genuinely believe that the more I connect to God and the more I let go of my control and the more I let God in all areas of my life, and the more I kind of work the spiritual solution that I've been shown through the big book and the 12 steps, the less I will need to kind of turn to eating as a solution. That's been my experience. It's directly proportional. And sometimes it pisses me off because I feel like I want black and white. You know, I want to know I'm doing okay. But for me, that's just my ego sometimes to make me feel like I'm okay. And I find it difficult in the grey areas. But it's a journey and it's an adventure. And it means that I have no choice but to connect to my higher power every single day. And that's such a gift. Because I always felt so alone, and now I'm never alone. I can go absolutely anywhere and be at peace and feel that I'm held and I'm guided and I'm loved. And that sounds really airy-fairy, but it's my truth. And it's just such an ask that sometimes I'm like, I can't be asked to talk to God when I've been given so much. I still have this illness that centres in my mind, that distorts my thinking, that warps my perspective. But I need to deal with, but I never knew there was another way. And for anyone that's struggling, there is a way out in these rooms, and it's so beautiful that we can meet together and be there for each other, and we're not crazy alone. share this stuff. And my experiences getting a sponsor, getting service, kind of getting stuck in, doing everything, throwing this, like, it's a battle for my life. And throwing myself into it really works. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.